the usually quirky podcast that gives writing tips and life tips. And now we're interviewing people who are interesting and cool. I'm Jones, and with me today is Lindsay Schultz. Lindsay is the owner of a dog named Bella, who gives who's a rescue dog, and amazingly enough, brings moles and squirrels as presents like a cat. And she's also one of the kindest people I've met via the internet. Like, anytime I'm driving through or near Tennessee, Lindsay, you always offer to show me around Nashville. And I have to tell you that someday I'm totally going to take you up on that offer. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for asking.
Oh my gosh. I'm so lucky to get to talk to you. Oh, like, so lucky. But do you think that Bella the Boxer has like a cat issue? Like, does she feel like she's a cat maybe? Like, you know how cats...
We rescued a dog named Monty years and years and years ago, and he's a little chihuahua who's basically a little old man who has arthritis in his hips and cataracts, and he's a cranky little butthead sometimes. And then you've got Bella, who's like 65 pounds of, I just want to sit on your lap and cuddle, and here's a dead mole to show you that I'm you from the backyard. And you're just like, okay, no doggy kisses. You need to wash your teeth.
You know, dogs are so nasty sometimes when they love you. It's like a nasty kind of love, you know?
I think she means to kill them. I think she thinks that they're play friends. And you're just like, no, you can't bite your friends. You can kill them. Stop bringing a man out.
I think that's like words to live by. You can't bite your friends. Like, that should be a mantra for someone, you know?
There's a book about, it's a kid's book that my daughter loves. It's like, we don't eat our classmates. And it's about a dinosaur that goes to kindergarten. And she keeps trying to eat her classmates, but then doesn't understand why no one wants to be her friend until the class guppy tries to bite her. And then she gets it. So she knows her friends. And it's just like, oh, God.
That's such a good book. You need somehow for your dog to read that book, maybe. Yes. You know, like... Yes. This is so cute. So, like, Nashville, like, when we're recording this right now, like, COVID-19 is happening, and, like, a lot of our country is locked down. But Nashville's been going through some stuff a lot recently.
It's crazy how all this stuff happened at like, one time with the tornado. And then, like, I think the very next week, schools closed down. And it was just, okay, I can only really handle one disaster at a time. I'm going to need y'all to slow down. We woke up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and my husband was just sitting there, and I said, what's the matter? And he said, Andy says mom's house is gone. And I thought, what do you mean gone? It's a house. Where did it go? Because we didn't even know that there had been a tornado. Wow. And then we turned on news, and you're just sitting here going, oh my God. And the pictures don't do it justice. Like, her whole neighborhood is wiped off the map, basically. Wow. And then, you know, a couple days later, you're watching all this stuff. And so I texted my sister-in-law, hey, tell me how bad this virus thing actually is, because the news is scaring the bejesus out of me. How bad is it actually? And, you know, so now I've only left the house to go to the grocery store and to take food to my in-laws. That's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so weird. It's so surreal. Like,
very much is.
How's his mom doing? Like, is she somewhere? Because she has no house, right?
She's good. So her insurance basically covered everything.
Okay.
And so she lost my father-in-law's truck and her car that I think she literally just bought less than a year ago. And so she immediately just went out and just, you know, I have the money, and just bought the car that she wanted. Okay. And so then they set her up with a furnished apartment for 6 months until she can find a house that she wants to buy again. So it just was kind of, it's just strange to me because we literally spent Christmas in that house.
Yeah.
And it's an empty plot of land.
Yeah. And now she's and it's not just that. It's like her whole neighborhood community is gone.
Yeah.
Like the virus is making you pretty much stay in place. And she has to stay in place in a place that's not her.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. And the fact that people are hoarding things like toilet paper. Yeah. I mean, out of all the things that you're going to hoard, toilet paper, not like food or medical supplies. No, we're going to hoard toilet paper.
Yeah.
I have bizarre
paper in our store like for 2 weeks now, like 2 to 3 weeks. Like people go super early to grab it.
You go into the store and the entire aisle is empty, and you're just like, how much toilet paper are y'all using?
No, I know. It's like, it does make you much more conscious about your own use of toilet paper, but like, it's amazing how much. Yeah. People are snapping up. Like, it's just, it's crazy to me. Like,
it is. It's absolutely. And the stuff, and the stuff that surprises me is the stuff that's not there. Like, it's not stuff you would think would not be there.
Yeah.
It's stuff. And you're just like, well, who needs 10 rolls of Ziploc bags?
Yes. Yes. Like, all of that is gone. It's so.
Why do you need 30 tubs of Lysol?
I know that one of my friends was like, everything in the canned like meat aisle. He lives in New York. And he was like, everything is gone except for the flat anchovies. Those are the only thing that is left. And I was like, that's so random.
Yeah, I know. And you look at stuff like, you're going to take the weird thing over here, but not the, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, like sure. A lot of it is like panic buying, you know what I mean?
Yes, very much so. And it's just, I've got a couple friends who, like, their kids have diabetes or, you know, they've got autoimmune disorders and stuff. And I'm watching them struggle to get just the basic everyday things. And I just want to be like, stop hoarding. Stop it.
And it's happening with, like, medical stuff, too. My husband's mom has lupus, and like lupus, one of the medications, like everybody's trying to get that medication for potential help with COVID-19. And so this woman who's been suffering with lupus for so long doesn't have her medicine anymore. You know, and it is just kind of wild and horrifying. Yeah. But I want to get back to you. Facebook on your you know, like on Facebook where you have like, hey, this is my name, underneath you have the word hipster in a parenthetical, and I want to know why you're claiming that label, because that label, some people are like, oh, a hipster, and they get all judgy, and some people are like, yeah, I'm a hipster.
I totally am. I admittedly, I have an e-reader. However, I prefer books, and I have my grandfather's old, like, you know, the golfer's cap, you know, that's made out of the wool, and I have suspenders and bow ties, and I like records on record players, and so usually I'd go to work, and I'd, you know, when I worked at Verizon, I would wear my little hipster cap, and I'd have on my really old ankle boots that were like the brown leather that looks like it's 1,000 years old, and I'd have on these weird sweaters like with a llama on it or something, and you know, people are like, God, you're such a hipster. I was like, yes, I know. I love it. I love that that's a label that people put on me, because I love old records, especially jazz, like Miles Davis and Nina Simone and, you know, Dizzy Gillespie and that kind of stuff. Give me the record. I have Prince's Purple Rain album on vinyl now from my mother-in-law. And my first thought was, oh my gosh, there's so many really profanely dirty songs that I can now listen to on vinyl.
Yeah.
That's one of my nicknames that I've been given over the years. You're such a hipster. Yes, I am.
That's really cool. I love that, like, you, like, embrace the old school parts of things. Like, first off, jazz. My grandpa, I never talk about this, but my grandpa was actually a jazz drummer. He wasn't famous or anything, but that's how he made a living. He went around with big bands and played the drums. And he was super cool. He's been dead for, like, forever because if he was alive, I think he'd be, like, 100,000 years old. Like, that's ridiculously how... Right.
My grandma turned 103 today.
Wow.
And she's still awesome and kicking. She is just a badass.
Cool. So you come from a line of badass hipsters, basically.
I hope so. She grew up, I think, in California, if I understand it right. And, you know, they had a farm here in Tennessee. And my grandfather, you know, he was cool. And they have like five kids. I have five aunts and uncles, including my dad. And then all of them have a ton of kids. And I've got two brothers. And all of us are just really kind of quirky and weird. It's fantastic. And then on my mom's side, we're all loud and opinionated and very strong women, and we're all artistic and craftsy, and so it just makes for a fun upbringing.
I wonder if that's part of the reason why you, like, embrace the hipster part of you. You know, like there's so much to be said about being loud and brassy and quirky and artistic and, like, understanding. Yeah. Difference and stuff. Like, vinyl just sounds so much better than, like, an MP3 track because it doesn't compress
people that they don't believe me.
No, it is. Like, you don't lose any audio data. Like, you don't have to compress those files. It sounds completely different. It sounds like exactly like the band intended it to sound, you know?
My favorite album is Kind of Blue by Miles Davis. And the day that I finally found it, I sat on my floor right next to my record player and cranked it up really loud and listened to it. Just, like, it was this emotional reaction to hearing one of my favorite musicians on vinyl, because that's a rare album, and now they mass market it. But at the time, they weren't doing vinyl very like that, and it was a hard album to find. So it was just, oh my God.
Oh, yeah. And Miles Davis, like, it feels like no one even talks about him anymore, you know, like.
Yes.
Which is so sad and frustrating.
Whole generation of musicians that I don't think a lot of people coming and not to slant young people who, because they have their own musicians and stuff, but I mean, just growing up with parents who really loved music, like my stepfather, he was 30 years older than my mom. And so I got a lot of music exposure. And so hearing people, you know, like Dizzy Gillespie and Miles Davis and John Coltrane, yeah, and Etta James, and, you know, Billie Holiday, and so, you know, that's a whole generation of musicians that I think need to be rediscovered.
Do you get, because you're near Nashville, do you get to hang out ever and listen to Nashville singing, like, that music scene? And
Not, you know, amid the coronavirus right now, it's dead. But, like, during the weekends, you can literally hear 10, 15 different musicians playing as you're walking down Broadway, which is where, like, all the tourist bars are and stuff.
Yeah.
There's country music and rock music and, you know, like Jack White from the White Stripes, he recorded his last album here. And then, I mean, there's so many people that come here now to record that are not country music. Yeah. That it's just crazy how much music exposure you get down here. Wow. That's not just country. Because I know, you know, not to hate on country music, but it's not been my first genre that I've always loved. I always grew up with my mom listening to Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd and the Rolling Stones and Bob Dylan and the Beatles, and, you know, listen to all, like, my mom got Bose speakers when I was in high school, my senior year of high school or my freshman year of college, I can't remember, and chatted, and we sat up till like 3 a.m. listening to, like, Led Zeppelin as absolutely loud as possible. And I think the cops got called because our neighbors were really objectionable to our brand new Bose speakers at 3 a.m. playing, you know, Money by Floyd. Sitting in your house listening to Pink Floyd at full volume, and it's like, welcome.
So music really is like, is part of your family experience too. Like yeah. You have memories of it. Like
love music.
That's so special. You also claim to be the queen of the island of misfit toys. And I think there might be some like competition for that title. But why do you claim to be the queen of the island of misfit toys?
My husband, Adam, he jokes that I collect misfit, and I'm a misfit myself. You know, all my friends have their own quirky little, you know, just things about them that make them so amazing and so unique. And, you know, one of my best friends is a guy, and his wife is one of my best friends. And I run this knitting and crochet group, and we're all quirky and weird and opinionated and fantastic. And so Adam, when we were first dating and he was meeting my accumulation of friends who all threatened to kill him if he wasn't nice to me.
I like them.
And, you know, somebody calls it the yarn mafia. And then somebody else was like, see, Adam made the comment. He goes, you're like the queen of the island of misfit toys because all your friends are weird. And I was, and so my friend heard about it, and then my best friend Eric was like, I want to be the elf that wants to be the dentist, because there's the cartoon where Rudolph goes and he meets the island of misfit toys, right? And so it's just become this running joke that my knitting and crochet group is called the Yarn Mafia. We call ourselves the Chicks with Sticks, but like, you know, they were all threatening at him. So somebody called them the Yarn Mafia. Because once you're in, you have our love and support and nobody messes with you. But yeah, Adam is like, you just meet these very strange people and you're just instant friends with them. It's like you just collect people for this island of misfit toys. So,
That's brilliant. There's so much to unpack in there. Like there's the yarn mafia. There's like that sense of community that you create and you still in that collection of misfits. The fact that you have a knitting and crochet book. The fact that one of your friends knows Herbie the elf that wants to be the dentist. Like that's all so beautiful and cool. When you were a kid, did you ever imagine that you were going to grow up and be the queen of misfit toys and a hipster?
Oh, you know, I was such a weird kid in high school, and I wanted to be liked by so many people, but I was bullied terribly in high school, and I was miserable, and I just wanted to get out of high school, and I hated it so much. And then I saw this interview with Robin Williams, probably my junior or senior year, maybe, where he was talking to Kate Couric, and you know, he was telling her how he was just miserable in high school when he was younger and he just hated it. And he just was like, you know, it gets better. You just got to get out and then you're going to meet your people and you'll realize how cool you are. Just embrace your weirdness. And I just remember thinking, because I did theater and all that kind of stuff, I was like, okay, I just got to get out of high school. And then getting into college. So I grew up in Tullahoma and then going to MTSU, which is Murfreesboro is a bigger town than Tullahoma. And so that's where I went to school. And I met these different people from different countries and people who were into music and into movies and read books that I wanted to read and were into Doctor Who. And I just kind of found myself.
Aww.
And it's, as I've gotten older, like I hit 40 and it was just like, this is who I am. I'm a nerd. I like to knit weird crap. I like to watch dumb movies and weird shows, and I like loud music, and I'm loud and opinionated, and I'm a dork, and I just embraced it.
Yeah. And that's amazing. That's so great that like you drew inspiration from that Robin Williams interview where he's just like, embrace your weirdness. But better is that you did, like you made it through that tough time. And now you're like this amazing human being, you know, like you made it. And that's so brave.
And it is brave to kind of just let yourself have that time to figure out who you are, because I think high school is miserable for everybody, whether they want to admit it or not. Yeah. And you don't know who you are when you're 16, you know, but you just spend so much time trying to find yourself and trying to imitate other people to see if, OK, does that fit me? And OK, it doesn't. And it's hard if you don't have your people because you're lonely.
Yeah.
And And you do meet your people, like the Yarn Mafia, Chicks with Sticks. Those are my people. You know, I love them dearly and fiercely, and they're all very different. And, you know, like the Chicks with Sticks, I started because I read a book and I twisted my ankle for like the fourth or fifth time and I was bored. Yeah. And so I started this group on Craigslist and eight people showed up, and one of them there, we've been friends 10 years, two of them, we've been friends 10 years, and they were both in my wedding to Adam. And, you know, we've seen each other through marriages, divorces, babies, funerals, and you know, we've raised money for breast cancer for several years in a row. I mean, we're a family. And I don't think I had that in high school, but the fact that I have it in my 30s and 40s, you know, to anybody that just hates themselves everybody hates themselves as a youth. Wait till college. You'll figure it out. You will find your tribe.
Aw, I'm so glad that you found your tribe, Lindsay. Those are really like inspiring, deep, awesome words. And I think that someone listening to this podcast is going to be like, oh, and have that epiphany that you had.
Oh. When you so
Robin Williams. Yeah, I had a crush on him when I was little. That's kind of embarrassing. Before we go, because we're almost out of time.
I still have a crush on a lot of people. My husband hates Henry Cavill because every time I'm seeing him, like, who, it's Henry? And he's like, yes, that's great for me as well.
You know, Henry Cavill is like the most aesthetically perfect face for a man ever. You know,
he plays Superman. Mm-hmm. I remember watching the first movie and just thinking, oh, dear Lord.
He's just like objectively so beautiful. He's beautiful. Yeah. And in The Witcher, he's still beautiful, even with the big blonde wig.
Oh my God, I found out he's going to be The Witcher, and Adam, my husband, or maybe one of my friends, you don't even know what it's about. I don't care. It's got Henry in it. I don't care what it's about.
It's Henry Cavill.
It's about so many grocery shopping. I would still watch it.
But true.
So, yeah.
I get it. But before we go, I want to make sure, is there anything you want to like give a shout out to before we wrap up?
I want to give a shout out to all the nurses and doctors. And I know everybody's doing that, but like my sister-in-law is a nurse, and you know, my husband works in the food industry, and there's people that have the essential jobs who are putting themselves at risk to help all of us who don't have essential jobs. I can't imagine how much work y'all are doing. And I know that the news and stuff doesn't even show you half of it. And I'm so grateful for the people who do that, like military people and nurses and doctors who going into that knowing that they might get sick and have been getting sick. That's just huge. And it shows the depth of humanity that people knowingly go into these kind of situations knowing I might get sick, but I can't not help people.
Yeah. And then there's like the whole second line of responders, like you referred to, like food service and the people who check you out at the grocery store and the people who clean everything. And like, it's such a big deal. There's so many heroes right now.
Well, even teachers, like my daughter's out of school and her teacher, Mrs. Rodden, still emails us every couple of days. Here are some assignments that aren't required but might help you. Hey, let's do a Zoom meeting so that we can keep in touch and I can see how you're doing. And if you do these specific websites, I can see how you're doing and I can help you with assignments. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and I know all teachers are doing that. I've got a couple friends that are teachers and they're all just like, hey, students, message me. What do you need? How can I help you? Moms who are, you know, homeschooling your kids right now, how can we help you? You know, I think that that's so incredible because I don't know how to homeschool my kid. I mean, you know, I'm an English person and you're doing Common Core math and I have to call my friend who's a math teacher this to me because I don't know how to tell my kid this. She's 8 and knows this and I don't. Help me. You know, so I think teachers helping parents who are now having to homeschool kids.
Yeah.
God love you because I'm out of my depth.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a big deal. It's a big
Absolutely.
Deal.
Absolutely.
So many heroes out there. And Lindsay, I am so glad I got to talk to you, and I feel so lucky that I got to. I can't thank you enough, and I hope that someday you might, as the queen of misfit toys, collect me as well into your band of misfits.
I told my husband, I said, yeah, so she's this author that I really, really like. And he said, well, how do you know her? And I said, I just messaged her and we've kind of become friends. But you didn't meet her? No, not yet. She just, you know, we talk and message her, and he just kind of goes, of course you did. You know, I'm serious though. If you do ever come to Nashville, we will plan a date. I'll take you to like Hattie B's. We'll go to get ice cream. We'll walk down Broadway. There's so many cool places about Nashville. I'm showing it off that it's not just country music. We have awesome food and like Red Bicycle Coffee and Crepes in Nashville and Germantown. Oh my God, it's the best thing in the entire world.
When this is all over, I'm coming down.
I'm telling you, book a hotel and we'll just eat our way through downtown Nashville.
Yes. So. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much for being here, Lindsay.
Hey, thank you for being my friend. It's been nice to get to know you.
Oh, I will always be your friend. You can't get rid of me now.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening.
We really appreciate you listening to the podcast. You can find us everywhere. You've already found us once if you're listening now. And like Apple Music, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and more. Just Google Dogs Are Smarter Than People. Then like and subscribe. The notes to the podcast are also always on carriejonesbooks.blog. Carrie is spelled C-A-R-R-I-E. I realized I don't always tell people that. And we'd like a shout out. The music that we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's the artist and what song is this? It's Night Owl by Broke for Free. You can go to the podcast episode notes and find a link right to it.
Listen to that fantastic music all the time.
Yeah, man.
So, what do we got going on in our lives, love?
Well, right now, we've released the book, The Places We Hide, which is an adult mystery.
And it's good.
It's so good.
I mean, obviously I'm biased, but it truly is good.
John just thinks it's really good because the main character he thinks is him.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, possibly.
We won't tell. Also, I am doing a course. I've started a course.
A course. What kind of course?
It's a bit like a distance MFA program, and people get to hang out together in a Zoom chat once every month, and I give them feedback for their stories every month. They submit 20 pages, and there's a Facebook group, and we have a bunch of people already signed up, which is awesome because...
So it's like a writing course.
It's a writing course. That's also very supportive and helps build community. So you get direct feedback from me and love from other writers.
I know. Any course that you're involved with has the instructors more. There's also like a life coaching course.
That's very sweet.
Because you're so awesome.
That's very sweet.
I know.
There's more information about it on my website. Once again, carriejonesbooks.blog.
You can never say that too much.
carriejonesbooks.blog.
And what else are you doing, love?
Am I doing anything else?
Well, I mean,
sorry.
You edit people's work.
I'm teaching at the Writing Barn. I edit people's work. You can find me on Readsy. I'm writing my own books. What else are you doing, boo?
Me?
Yeah, man.
Oh, I'm just doing my regular work. But we are going to start formatting people's books also.
Woo!
And we will be doing print edition and
ebook.
Ebooks.
So we're all in one.
Types of formatting styles.
Right. So you can come to us and we will clean up your grammar.
Yeah, we're like a full service.
Yeah, man.
Book prep / publishing house.
Yeah. Only thing we're not doing is cover design.
Yep.
Yep. Pretty cool.
Once again, that will have to land back in your on your desk, though, because unless people want stick figures for the covers all the time.
You've been the funniest cover ever. That'd be awesome.
Every book's a kid's book here.
Like Edie's font. I'm like,
yeah, right.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
I'll do the Kama Sutra cover with stick figures.
No. It always goes back to
no, it's just an example of how it could be deceptive because it's stick figures, but you never know what's inside.
Anyways, we're going to end it here. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much for listening.
We really appreciate it. And we stay healthy and strong, okay?
Yeah.
Because we need you in this world.
Stay strong.